Good evening. It is one of the most controversial questions of our age. Should same-sex couples be allowed to marry? Today, New Jersey's Supreme Court stepped right into that debate, ruling that, quote, same-sex couples must be afforded the same rights and benefits enjoyed by married opposite-sex couples. But the state's court stopped short of actually approving gay marriage. We begin our coverage tonight with ABC senior national correspondent Jake Tapper.
The New Jersey Supreme Court ruled today that Sarah and Sue Layell and other same-sex couples in New Jersey are entitled to the same rights and benefits as heterosexual couples.
It's really crucial to us to be able to protect our family in times of sickness and to be able to enjoy the same protections that other families enjoy.
The court gave the state legislature 6 months to either amend the marriage statutes to include same-sex couples or create a parallel arrangement that gives gay and lesbian couples the same rights and benefits as married straight couples. The court stopped short of requiring that it be called marriage, but gay rights groups celebrated the ruling.
The court ruled today that same-sex couples in the state of New Jersey ought to be afforded the same protections as everyone else.
New Jersey state legislators passed a pro-gay rights domestic partnership law 2 years ago, and experts expect them to arrive at a similar solution to Vermont's civil unions law, the rights of marriage by another name. Quote, the same rights, privileges, obligations, and responsibilities as Vermont has always given to married couples. The decision outraged Christian conservatives.
This is an act of veiled judicial activism. I mean, the court is imposing on that state same-sex marriage, but they're going to let the legislature be their henchman.
Handed down 13 days before the election, the ruling puts the controversial issue of gay and lesbian rights front and center in a highly competitive political environment.
During the 2004 presidential race, Republicans used opposition to same-sex marriage to rally conservatives to the polls. Gay marriage bans passed in 11 states. This year, gay rights groups say with major issues like the war in Iraq front and center, today's ruling will have little impact. That will be up to the voters in less than 2 weeks. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
And we're joined now by our chief Washington correspondent, George Stephanopoulos, and ABC's legal correspondent, Jan Crawford Greenberg. Jan, let me start with you. First of all, welcome to ABC News.
Thank you.
And secondly, let me get to this question. Opponents of gay marriage were irate today with the New Jersey Supreme Court's decision. And yet proponents of same-sex marriage were somewhat ambivalent because they actually didn't win the right to marry. So what's going on?
Well, the court really split the difference here. Proponents had argued from the beginning that this case was about one thing, the right to marry, and they fell short of that. Instead, they got the rights and benefits of marriage. And opponents of gay marriage say that gay and lesbian couples shouldn't get even that.
Now, the legislature can pass a bill that would say it is marriage, or they can pass a bill saying it's a civil union.
That's right, and it's up to the legislature to decide. The Supreme Court today, in its opinion, made that clear that the state could take one of two tracks, and now the issue is going to go back to the legislative process.
All right, George. Jake raised the issue that this has political implications. The decision comes down in New Jersey. There's a key Senate race there. There are 8 states that have on their referenda ballots bans on same-sex marriage, and 2 of those states are Virginia and Tennessee. They have key Senate races this year. So what are the political implications?
Well, let's break it down in those 3 states, Charlie. In New Jersey, the candidates have had similar positions on gay marriage, except now the Republican candidate is coming out for a constitutional amendment banning it, and he's hoping that this decision will help motivate social conservatives for him. In Tennessee, both candidates, the Democrat and the Republican, have the same position on gay marriage. They're both for a constitutional amendment banning it. I think the biggest impact could be in the state of Virginia, Charlie, and this could be the first break that George Allen has had in a long time. He's for the ban on gay marriage in Virginia. His opponent, James Webb, is against it. Social conservatives could be mobilized down there.
Well, it certainly does put the issue front and center in a lot of states, if not in the entire country.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Thursday, October 26th, 2006. And you just heard that clip from the news about the New Jersey Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage for the state of New Jersey. And as you heard, while the proponents were able to get the same rights and so forth as straight couples, they were not able to get the right to call it marriage, and that will have to be debated and decided upon by the legislature, and let's hope they make the right decision. The one thing I like about this ruling is the fact that we, as gay people, are slowly, and I mean slowly, breaking down the barriers for our rights, for gay rights. And I think in the future, in, I don't know, maybe a quite, oh, you know what I was going to do? Sorry to interrupt. I was going to play some music on iTunes to, let's see, what can I play? Oh, sorry. I had this all set up, ready to go, and then I started talking without me even choosing something to listen to. I don't know what to choose. Let's choose. Is this? What is this? Oops, that's way too loud. However, let's. Although, if it's someone singing, I'm gonna stop that. Let's fast forward. That's music. Okay, let's listen to this. I like this song, actually. Anyway, I was talking about the gay marriage thing in New Jersey, and I was very pleased to hear the whole thing, and sad to hear that George Allen in the state of Virginia might use some of this to gain back the social conservatives on his side and vote for him in the Senate race in Virginia, and I hope that does not happen. Basically, I was saying that I'm pleased with this because I think in time, over maybe in my lifetime, we will have a national law that supersedes, is that the word, supersedes all the state laws against, or the state constitutions against gay marriage. And hopefully, state by state, they will have laws and, or court cases that actually overturn these constitutional amendments. Because I know, as I was mentioned a couple weeks ago, I know the one in Virginia will pass. I'm sure of it. So, I don't know. I'm just happy that the New Jersey Supreme Court saw it fit to, realize that gays are equal, should be equal in terms of marriage rights. I know I'm starting to sound like Richard Bluestein, because on his show today he was just rambling, weird. But anyway, I'm rambling too. I did have other things to talk about. You might remember me saying last week, or telling you last week about that I joined the Biggest Loser Club at work. Well, today was our first weigh-in, and first time to decide who lost the most weight in I should say percentage of body fat based on how many pounds you lost. And this one woman who I don't believe her, she lost 6 pounds, which ended up being like 2.3% of her body weight or whatever like that. And I was like, God damn it. Well, I got on the scale and I lost 2.5 pounds. So my percentage was like 1.9% or something like that. 1.97, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I came in second place this first week of the Biggest Loser. I don't know how the hell I lost 2.5 pounds, but maybe it's because I took my shoes off before I weighed myself. I use that trick each time. But I was trying to do a better job of watching what I was eating this week, and I'm going to do an even better job this between now and next Wednesday, so that when I weigh in next Wednesday, I will also will have lost some poundage and some percentage of body weight, because I'd really like to win at least 1 week. But I did not win, but I did come in second this week, and there's 12 people doing it now, so out of 12 I lost the second most weight. And some people, it was funny because some people actually gained weight in the last week and they were just miserable about that. But you know, it's tough. So there's the Fat Club. I also met this afternoon with my kitchen designer, as you have probably heard me talk about before. Okay, now what happened to the music? Okay, if this is another... Let me turn this up a little bit. I I was just fast-forwarding because if it's singing, I don't want to hear it. All right, I'll just let that keep playing. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, meeting with my kitchen designer. Most of you know who, those of you who have been listening for a while, I'm having my kitchen renovated in just like 2 weeks. But I've been making all the choices, and at one point I had made all the choices in terms of cabinets, countertops, tile, floor, appliances, and all that stuff. But once I saw the countertop choice, I wasn't happy with it. So I decided to change my choice on the countertop. And last week, my kitchen designer ordered a sample of the one that I thought that I wanted. And well, today she brought the sample with a sample of my cabinets and the sample of the tile floor. And we laid it all out. And I noticed that actually my choice was too white. Because once I saw it in real life, because I was only looking at it on the website, it was just way too white. So she realized, though, after our discussion last week, that I wanted something less. The choice that she first made for me was had big specks of browns and tans in it, and I didn't like it because I thought it was too loud and just too busy and just not right for my countertops. So I asked her to change it. Well, the one that I asked her to change it to, as I was saying, is too white. So she brought another sample, realizing that I really wanted something that was much more toned down. And what we're going with is something called Desert Limestone, I think it's called. And it's basically a beige countertop, a tan countertop, with teeny tiny little specks of different tans and a tiny speck of white. And I think it goes much better with the floor tile than the one that I had picked out. And it goes really well with the cabinets. So we made the final choices with that. And then she got out the grout. You know, you have to choose the grout color from between your tile. And that was actually a big debate there, too, because she thought I should go with something a little bit darker between the tile. And I don't really like dark grout. I just don't like the way it looks. So we went in the middle of the road, and chose, again, almost like a beige, tan, off-white almost kind of like color. It's not white, definitely not white. It's definitely in the tan range, but and the thing is, it's going to be like a quarter of an inch, but the color that I chose is actually in the tile, so it will, you know, blend well when you look at it across the floor. So So we made that choice. And she told me that some of the things have already started to come in, like my lighting has already all come in, like the under-counter lighting and the new fixture for overhead fixture have come in. So things are starting to come in, yay! And in about 2 weeks, I will have my appliances delivered, but I think that might be too early, so I'm going to have to change. Oh my God, please excuse me. I sound like John Ong now. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Travis. Please forgive me. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry I burped. What was I saying? Oh, that I had the appliances are scheduled to be delivered on November 9th, but I think that is too soon because I don't think the kitchen is going to be well far enough along for the guy to install the appliances, so I might have to push that back a week or so. And I'm trying to sell my double oven here at my condo for people who might possibly want it, but no one's called me, and I've had the advertisement up for a week and 3 days, so I don't know. I'll probably just have to have them haul the old one away just to get rid of it, and that will suck. But anyway, so that's the issue, the update on the kitchen renovation. So yeah, I didn't mention, but I noticed today that Apple quietly updated the MacBook Pros and the MacBooks to the new Core 2 Duo chips. And this is the one that I was a little disappointed with. They also changed the option for the hard drive on the iMac. You can now get a 750 GB hard drive on the iMac. So I went on the store website and did the exact same configuration of the computer that I have now, but changed the hard drive on it, and oh my God, the price is so much more. It's like, I don't remember exactly, but it's like $300 to $400 more just for a 750 gig hard drive. So in one way, I'm glad I got my computer when I did, because the prices are a little bit higher now. But I wish at the time that I had gotten my computer that they offered the 750 gig hard drive, because you can never have too much hard drive space. Just like it's always been my philosophy that you can never have too much RAM. So yeah. So that's the chat about the computer. I know some people don't like that. And, you know, I have to thank Paul, I believe from Philadelphia, who's been sending me cool Mac links. Like, he sent me this link to this little neat apps website that actually does a podcast and talks about little applications that different people create for the Macintosh, for the OS X system software. And that was a cool site, and I'm listening to their podcast. The other thing, too, that website actually led me to another website where I, it's called Free Macware, I think it is. What is it? Oh, I can't remember. Let me go. Yeah, Free Macware. Okay. Anyway, on Free Macware, I found a new version of Klondike. Is anybody familiar with Klondike? It is basically a solitaire program, but they had, years ago, when I had my first, I think it was my first color Macintosh, Klondike was the, I think it was the game, one of the games that came with the Macintosh, and it's just a solitaire, game of solitaire. Well, I discovered that last night, and since then I've been playing Klondike like crazy on the computer, and it's wasting way too much time playing solitaire. Not at work like some people do, but at home when I just have, you know, 3 or 4 minutes here and there, I will play a quick game of solitaire, and I've done pretty well with it. I have to remind myself exactly what the, you know, where the cards go and stuff, because I haven't played it for a while, but it was like riding a bike. You get right back into it. So that's been fun. I've been playing this Klondike game. Now, I was going to play some different things on iTunes. I I got a CD from a friend. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Shel Silverstein. He wrote several books in the, from the 70s all the way through the early 90s. But he died in the mid-90s, I think. But he wrote a book called Where the Sidewalk Ends, and at one point he actually recorded himself reading all of his poems from that, and I put them on a computer, and I know it's probably totally illegal, but I want to just play a couple of them because some of them are kind of funny, or, you know, they make you think, or they're just, you know, silly poems. So let me stop this music and choose one of the poems. Like this one's called Hector the Collector. I'm going to turn this up so you can hear it better. Let's listen to this.
Hector the Collector collected bits of string. He collected dolls with broken heads and collected rusty bells that wouldn't ring and pieces out of picture puzzles and bent-up nails and ice cream sticks and twists of wires and worn-out tires and paper bags and broken bricks and old chip vases and half shoelaces and Gatling guns that wouldn't shoot. He had a couple leaky boats that wouldn't float and stopped-up horns that wooden toot and butter knives that had no handles, copper keys that fit no locks, rings that were too small for fingers and dried up leaves and holy socks and worn out belts that had no buckles, electric trains had no tracks, airplane models and broken bottles and three-legged chairs and cups with cracks. Hector, the collector, he loved these things with all his soul. Loved them more than shining diamonds, loved them more than glistening gold. And Hector, he called all the people, "Come and share my treasure trunk." And all the silly, sightless people looked at it and called it junk.
So that was Hector the Collector. And sometimes I feel like Hector the Collector with my collection of Macintosh stuff, crap, whatever some people would call it. And I also have a ton of wires and stuff that go with them. I just thought that was kind of fun. Let's listen to Peanut Butter Sandwich. Now, this one's a couple minutes long, but listen to this called Peanut Butter Sandwich.
I'll sing you a poem of a silly young king who played with the world at the end of a string, but he only loved one single thing, and that was just a peanut butter sandwich. His scepter and his royal gowns, his regal throne and golden crowns were all brown and sticky from the mounds and drippings from each peanut butter sandwich. His subjects all were silly fools, for he had passed a royal rule that all that they could learn in school was how to make a peanut butter sandwich. He would not eat his sovereign steak. No, he scorned his soup, take it away, and his kingly cake, and told his courtly cook to bake an extra sticky peanut butter sandwich. And then, one day, he took a bite and started chewing with delight. But he found that his mouth was stuck quite tight from that last bite of peanut butter sandwich. His brother pulled, his sister pried, the wizard pushed, his mother cried, my boy's committed suicide from eating that last peanut butter sandwich. The dentist came, and the royal doc, the royal plumber, banged, and knocked, but still those jaws stayed tightly locked. Oh, darn that sticky peanut butter sandwich. The carpenter, he tried with pliers. The telephone man tried with wires. The firemen, they tried with fire. Oh, but couldn't melt that peanut butter sandwich. With ropes and pulleys, drills and coil, with steam and lubricating oil, for 20 years of tears and toil, they fought that awful peanut butter sandwich. And then all his royal subjects came. They hooked his jaws with grappling chains and pulled both ways with might and main against that stubborn peanut butter sandwich. Each man and woman, girl and boy, put down their plows and pots and toys and pulled until crack. Oh, joy. They broke right through. Peanut butter sandwich. A puff of dust. A screech. A squeak. The king's jaws opened with a creak. And then in voice so faint and weak, the first words that they heard him speak were, how about a peanut butter sandwich?
So that's the peanut butter sandwich. Sorry that it took so long. I didn't realize that it was that long. But anyway, I happen to love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The last one I want to play is much, much shorter. It's only 28 seconds long, and it's called Listen to the Mustn'ts. And that makes me think of something I'm going to talk about next. So listen to the mustn'ts.
Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never-haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be.
Oh, that was cool. That makes me think of something I saw on the news tonight about tag, playing tag in schools. I saw this thing on the news about how there's 4 school districts in the country who have banned playing tag. Let's go back to some music. What can we play? Let's play something called... No... I know, I'm sorry, I'm being terrible, but let's listen to, I don't know, let's see what this is. I'll turn it down. Anyway, I know I'm totally wasting time. Oh, no, you know what? Let's listen to... No, I won't listen to one of those. Okay. As I was saying, I was talking about this. Four school systems in the country have banned kids playing tag on the playground because they're too afraid of kids getting hurt and then getting sued. And I think that's a terrible statement, a sad statement, I should say, of our country right now, that parents are so fucking weird about their kids. Think about it. Didn't you play tag when you grew up? And if you fell over and got a little bump or bruise, did you sue anybody? No. Fucking parents and people today are just crazy. This state of our country is so bad right now. Things need to change. Okay, that sounds terrible with that music in the background. I'm so sorry. But I did want to play just this clip from the news. Plus, I'm going to turn this music down. I'm going to play the clip from the news about tag, and you can realize how, you know, how sad it is in our country. We can't play fucking tag anymore. And then that's going to be it. So, boys and girls, until next time, bye.
Finally tonight, keeping the play in playground. The simple game of tag has been a staple of recess fun for generations. But now in this complicated world, tag is not it, it's out. At least four school districts across the country have banned tag, trying to protect kids from injury and their egos from bruising. And a lot of people think that's nuts. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
Is tag the scourge of recess? Does it belong, as one educator has placed it, in the physical education hall of shame? From our unscientific prepubescent focus group, a resounding no.
Do you play tag?
I play tag a lot.
So you're like a professional tagger.
What are the words you would use to describe the wisdom of banning tag?
Well, horrible. I really think it's bad that they banned tag. That's all I can say.
Last week, this school in Attleboro, Massachusetts, became the latest to enforce a tag ban. The principal says recess is a time when accidents can happen. It touched off a stream of local criticism.
Kids will be kids, no matter what. Kids are going to trip on rocks. Kids are going to trip over their feet. It happens. It's a daily occurrence.
And a raging river of national ridicule. Newspapers are calling it overzealous, ridiculous, and part of the sissification of children.
Critics are saying if you're going to ban tag, you might as well ban hopscotch because kids might eat the chalk. Or ban staring contest because it could cause eye damage.
There's also the concern that, like dodgeball, which has been widely banned, tag could be bad for the losers' psyches.
Generations of Americans survived tag. I wonder why now. What's so terrible about being it a few times?
A lot of people have talked about survival of the fittest and how we need to toughen up our children, but I don't think that causing them to fail in front of each other is a good way.
Sam and Jack are unswayed.
If they ban tag, what are they going to do? It's just not fun without tag.
One fed-up parent said if you're so worried about safety, send the kids to school dressed in bubble wrap and helmets. Dan Harris, ABC News, New York.
Usher Ray.